Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, joining me in the studio for some analysis on what we've just heard and what's going on at the Cowan Centres, we've Claire Scott, political correspondent with the Sunday Times, Dr. Aidan Regan, associate professor in UCD's School of Politics and International Relations, John Downing, political correspondent with the Irish Independent and former advisor to the Green Party in a previous government. You're all very welcome. Thank you for being here. Really interesting to hear Aidan Regan starting us off there on the abuse that he experienced on the campaign trail. Aidan, I don't know if you heard that as you were way into studio. And Grace O'Sullivan saying then that there were times in the Cowan Centre where she felt fearful because there were people she knew were standing close to her who had abused her on social media over the course of the campaign. Regina Doherty, too, to a lesser extent, saying that she experienced that on the campaign trail. I suppose it doesn't send a great message out to people who might be thinking of running for democratic election in this country.
Oh, it's terrible. I think it's a reflection of the deeply polarised political system that we're living in, not just in Ireland, across Europe. You see the same stories happening in France and Germany, in the Netherlands, Denmark, further afield, Eastern Central Europe. And I think there's a lot of anger out there, and there's a lot of people who are expressing their politics in a very angry way. And I think Grace O'Sullivan's point about, sharing a space of people who would have been abusing her. We see in the Ireland South election that let's call them ultra-nationalists, have done quite well. 25,000 votes for one of their candidates who's been very aggressive. And, you know, if you look at what he says online, it's not pleasant. So there's a nastiness to a lot of that politics, a lot of that far-right politics. One could be complacent by saying, look, they didn't get elected in many spaces, so therefore it's not a problem. But on the ground, politics is local, politics is grassroots. And if that type of politics is there, it's aggressive and it's a real problem.
Yeah, do you think there's a risk there, John, if people say that, you know, well, not many got elected from that ideology, but maybe we're just seeing the start of it.
Yeah, there is that danger. I mean, there are the two arguments. There are, for example, people who have espoused hard right anti-immigrant policies, strident anti-immigrant policies, probably won't get into double digits out of 949 councillors elected. But the counter argument to that is, look, the issue is now on the table. It's on our political agenda. And with that, not always, not entirely the same thing, a heck of an amount of online abuse. A neighbour of mine, a Fine Gael councillor in Kildare, handsomely re-elected, Peggy O'Dwyer, was telling me, I met her by chance at the polling station, and she was telling me about vicious, vitriolic stuff that was put online about her. So there is an issue to be confronted. And I think the security authorities are going to have to take the gloves off here.
Now, Claire, let's take a look at the counts themselves. Midlands Northwest, we saw the first count coming through there now. They're on count four at the moment. And I suppose the big headline from that was Nina Carberry's vote.
Yeah, I think that was pretty exceptional. I don't think anyone was expecting that, particularly because Nina hasn't been out at hustings or hasn't been really visible across radio and TV the same way that Maria Walsh has, although she's doing exceptionally well too. Now, look, it does look at the minute that there is potential for two Fine Gael seats within the Midlands Northwest constituency, although it is hard to see where the transfers are going to come for them to kind of move up slightly from those two positions where they are now. I actually see kind of Kieran Mullooly doing quite well from some of the transfers that we're likely to see over the coming days. So that could move him up. So, you know, we could have a position where we have Luke McFlanagan doing well, and then maybe Barry Cowan, Nina Carberry, or potentially Maria Walsh, and then maybe Kieran Mullooly. Or then even, you know, Michelle Gildernew is still within a decent shout for that fifth seat.
She's on almost 46,000 votes, and next to her is Kieran Mullooly at 57,500 votes. But you're saying, from the transfers from her own colleague,
I suppose she would be hoping for about, you know, maybe 50-60% transfers from Chris McManus.
Yeah, he's got about 30,000.
But at the same time, I mean, the transfers we've been seeing over the last while haven't been working the way that they usually do. They've been fairly erratic. I was down at the count on Saturday in Ireland South in Cork, just looking at the transfers there. It was really stark to see, you know, a lot of Billy Kelleher number ones and then Mick Wallace's number twos. Mm-hmm. So it's anyone's guess, really.
Volatility in the transfer market, I think, is what we've tagged it, haven't we? What's your read, Aidan, on Midlands North West to start with there? And perhaps the performance of Sinn Féin?
Oh, it's a terrible performance with Sinn Féin. They got 11% of the vote. I don't think they're going to take a seat. I think Fine Gael will take two. Fianna Fáil will take one. Luke Ming Flanagan, part of the left group in the Parliament, will take one. And then it'll go to Ciara Mullooney, I say, independent. So I tend to look at these things through the lens of what's happening in the European political groups. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, two for EPP, one for the Liberals, one for the left. And let's see where Independent Ireland go. But, you know, comparatively speaking, it looks more like an ECR, a more conservative right position. Yeah. So based on those kind of ratios, it's broadly similar to what's happening across Europe.
Okay.
But I think it's a terrible outcome for Sinn Féin, particularly given the constituencies, the border counties. I think they will be very disappointed. And I think a lot of questions will be asked of their party strategy and party candidate selection.
What was their strategy, John?
Well, I think it was framed in a happier time for them in opinion poll land. I think they were relying very heavily on the strength of the brand. You think about it, I live in South Kildare. I'm looking at Michelle Gildernew posters thinking, well, she's for Mana stroke Tyrone. Why here? Trying not to be partitionist at the same time. Trying to remember who Chris McManus is, previously a little known councillor in Sligo. So two very unknown people, one of them out of area entirely, and presumably the idea was to try and catch the border vote for Michelle Gildernew and speak to having a Northern Sinn Féin are the people who gave you a Northern Ireland MEP, mm-hmm. which you lost due to Brexit. All very, very nice, very well and good. Teetotally impractical as things turned out.
I was asking Eoin O'Riordan about the Nina Carberry strategy and, you know, would Labour consider going down the celebrity route? And he said, you know, you have to stand for something. Is that fair when it comes to Nina Carberry?
I think it probably is fair, but history teaches us that politicians come from all sorts. We could go back to Jack Lynch and say, why did he suddenly stand for the Dáil? He stood because he had six back-to-back Cork All-Irelands, five hurling, one football. So he morphed into a serious world-class politician. So similarly, Nina Carberry will very likely get her chance. She won't last unless she makes the transition to being a politician, because democracy self-corrects.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, Claire mentioned her campaign there. We didn't see much of her in debates or out doing media appearances, but clearly she was on the ground and was crisscrossing that constituency.
Clearly, and a wise strategy, because people just woke up to the fact that this crazy Midlands North West constituency, a huge concentration of it is commuter belt around Kildare, Meath, and so on.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's take a look at, we might go to South maybe next and take a look at what's happening there. When I was chatting to Grace O'Sullivan, we were just looking at the numbers and it's just really tightly bunched, Claire. You might take us through what we're seeing here. Sean Kelly over the line. Billy Kelleher is obviously going to get over the line. Can you say the same for Michael McNamara at this stage?
I think so. The one thing is, I think there was an impression that he would have done better than that 56,000 figure that we're seeing at the minute. But I do think he will get over the line and he'll do very well from the transfers that we're likely to see over the next while.
Fianna Fáil could get two.
I think that's a really impressive figure from Cynthia Nuberk, who again, kind of looking into that realm of the celebrity candidate and the success that that has had for Fianna Fáil. When I was down on a canvas with the Taoiseach and Cynthia, you know, the every second hand that was shook, it was mentioned that she was, do you remember her from the Eurovision? That was a big strategy for them. And it has worked. I think that's a newcomer and she has done exceptionally well. It is likely that she could take that seat, and that kind of that structure that we're seeing at the minute with Mick Wallace in fifth place, that could be maintained now, which would be, again, very unfortunate for Kathleen Funchen.
All right, but there's a long way to go before we get to that point. Now, we're going to take a break, and we've been talking about social media in particular, aggressive attacks on social media, and we'll be talking about the social media campaigns for those running in the European elections after this. While candidates clashed on the airwaves and at local hustings throughout the campaign, another key battleground, as we've been hearing in these European and local elections, has been social media, and digging into the advertising budgets, the level of public engagement, has been communications consultant Damien Mulley, who is on the line now. Hello, Damien.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us. Now, one of the most interesting figures that you've come up with is that a couple of individual candidates, they've spent more than their party's entire social media budget. Who are they?
Yeah, so in the past 90 days, when you look at what where the money has been spent, the likes of Cynthia Nimmorecu, John Mullins, Regina Doherty, they've been spending more than the parties have been spending on their election campaigns.
And what about Nina Carberry? Does she fit into that category as well?
Nina Carberry, yeah, Nina Carberry, and especially in the last couple of days, that was a big spend. So like on June 7th, she was spending quite a lot of money. And so in total, she has spent, just let me check the figures there, she has spent something like 8,000 or 9,000 in the last week of the campaign. Mm-hmm. And she has been the biggest spender in a lot of counties like Kildare. And Meath as well.
There you go.
I guess we're
John Downing, that's your area. And the social media realm, though, it is a new, relatively new battleground, but obviously a really important one, right?
Is it? With every passing election, it becomes more important, yes. Mm-hmm. And I have to say I struggle to keep up with it because I'm old school.
So what are we seeing now? Is that, you know, the candidates who have deep enough pockets to be able to fund a campaign like that will clearly benefit from it?
It's certainly a factor. Number of people who knocked on my door. I didn't expect Europeans to make it down the avenue. But I didn't actually encounter them in a supermarket, a shopping centre, or on walkabout. That maybe there's happenstance there, I understand. But even few local people made it to my door. There were occasional leaflet drops. So it does say that more and more of this is being slugged out on the social media platforms.
Mm-hmm. And Damien, when we look then at the party spend, there's a big discrepancy, is there, between what the individual parties are spending on social media campaigns?
Yeah, so the likes of Sinn Féin, for example, in the past 90 days, has spent close to about €150,000. About 120,000 just on Facebook and Instagram ads, and about another 50,000 on YouTube ads. And I think many people probably in the past 3 or 4 days of the campaign saw the video from Mary Lou on YouTube. Everywhere you went on YouTube, there was the Mary Lou video.
Mm-hmm. And what about the others then? How do they compare, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael?
So Fine Gael, for the main party ads from the main party pages, they spent 38,000 in 90 days, and Fianna Fáil spent 23,000. Nina Carberry, actually, her total in 90 days has been 20,000. Mm-hmm. Green Party spent 19,000, and Chris McManus spent 18,000 as well.
And they're mostly going to Facebook, Instagram. What about TikTok?
So TikTok doesn't allow political advertising. LinkedIn doesn't allow it. Twitter said they don't, but some politicians actually were running ads on Twitter as well.
Mm-hmm. So I think there were some getting through on TikTok.
There were. So you'd see ads pop up every now and again, and they'd be taken down maybe within a couple of hours. Mm-hmm. The system themselves would kick in and delete them.
But there's other ways of cutting that, isn't there? I mean, you can deliver a political message on your personal TikTok page that isn't an ad, but would probably serve as one.
Yeah, exactly. So you can promote what you're doing without getting too political. And given that it's rarely a human being that's working a moderation team now, it's the AI or it's the algorithm, there's definitely ways around that. And even censoring certain words, or by not saying certain words, the ad system will allow your content to get through.
All right. Well, Damien, thanks very much for bringing that to us. We'll just take a quick break. Back with more after this. Now, I'm joined on the line by Niall Collins, Minister of State at the Department of Further and Higher Education, Research, Innovation and Science. Niall, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us this morning. Can I talk to you first about Midlands North West? We've been running through what's going on in the different constituencies. So here you have Barry Cowan and you have Lisa Chambers and you have Niall Blaney. Was it a mistake to run three there?
I don't think so. I think you just have to look at the geography of the constituency. It's a very vast constituency. You've been hearing from your earlier contributors. Huge commuter belt around Dublin. The whole western seaboard and up into the northwest. So it is a very, very vast constituency. And we're very much in contention for two seats there. Obviously, a huge distance to go in the count there. So we're very optimistic. Mm. Similarly, with Ireland South, Billy Kelleher will be elected. Cynthia Nivaraku, quite likely to be elected. And, of course, Barry Andrews in Dublin. So
yeah, sticking with Midlands Northwest, like Fine Gael had two there, both performing really well. And if you look at their first preference share, it's 21.4% versus your three coming in at 21.8%. The obvious conclusion is if you'd had two candidates there, you'd probably be in a much better place today.
Not necessarily so, because, you know, some people, a percentage of people will vote local for geographical reasons. So it will come down to transfers and, you know, we're just too early into the count to make any assumptions in relation to whether you had a correct or an incorrect strategy. I agreed with the three candidate strategy. Mm-hmm. We have increased our party percentage right across that constituency significantly. So we'll just have to wait and see how it plays out. Which way it plays out for us, we're going from a situation of having two MEPs to definitely, in my view, having four, if not a fifth. So that is a significant achievement for the party.
Okay, and the swing towards independence in the election, and we were talking about it this morning, we've some anti-immigration candidates doing really well. What do you think the strategy needs to be from mainstream parties like your own to deal with that going into a general election? How do you counter not just the anti-immigration candidates, but a surge in independents who are running for all sorts of reasons?
Well, I don't think we obviously have to keep an eye on every competitor within the political landscape. But if you look at the local elections, for example, we in Fianna Fáil went into this local election campaign as the largest party in local government. We are emerging from this campaign now as the largest party in local government. We will have the highest number of seats across the local authorities in Ireland, with about 248 seats, followed by Fine Gael, who will have about 245. So people are voting for Fianna Fáil in huge numbers right across this country. People are voting for Fine Gael, obviously, also. And people are voting for the other political parties who have been on the scene for a long, long time. What we have seen is a shift in the support that the opinion polls were indicating for Sinn Féin to independent candidates. So we do know over the history of elections and the election cycles within our country that there is a floating vote, there is a shifting vote at every election. It was with Fianna Fáil for possibly three successive elections for Bertie Ahern. It shifted primarily to the Labour Party, who lost it. It went to Sinn Féin, and now it seems to be resting with independent candidates at the moment. And we do have, obviously, a bit of churn within the political landscape, but in the main, to use the phrase that has been said so many times over the last number of days, the centre has held.
Mm-hmm. But for how long, I suppose, is the question, you know, that you're going to have to address?
Well, I think it's something which the media need to look at themselves, and the opinion pollsters need to look at themselves, because, you know, to hear and to see the surprise on the political pundits' faces and in their utterances when they're acknowledging that Fianna Fáil are still the largest party at local government, that the government has performed well, the government parties have performed relatively well. It is quite remarkable, and I think people need to reflect on that. The government parties...
Well, I've John Downing here, and I've Claire Scott here from Sunday Times, Aidan Regan, who analyses these things too, and they're all taking a long, hard look at themselves here in the studio as you're wagging the finger at them, Niall. Yeah, go on.
Maybe you should take a look at it yourselves, because I would have a bugbear in relation to the mayoral election in Limerick, which I want to put on record. A groundbreaking election. And I think RTE, as a national broadcaster, gave very, very poor coverage to such a groundbreaking election in Limerick.
Well, there was a debate with all the candidates in the end of it. Whatever went on, I don't know beforehand, but there was a debate with all of the candidates in the heel of the hunt.
In terms of the presentation, even your own show, Claire, in terms of the presentation right across the different current affairs programmes, was quite minimalistic. Virgin Media didn't come to Limerick. I know the Katie Hannon show did come. It was quite late. It finished around midnight. So it was very, very poor. And I think we need to really look at that in terms of allowing for proper debates, more debates. And I know there was crowded pitches.
Well, look, I mean, fortunately, we do retain editorial control and we try to do our best, and we certainly, our ambition is to be fair to everybody on this programme. Can I bring
in... Absolutely, but you're not above criticism. Oh, and I'm just,
listen,
that's why you're here.
And you're absolutely free to say it, and there's no issue with that whatsoever. Yeah. Pádraig McLoughlin is with us from Sinn Féin. Good morning, Pádraig.
Good morning, Claire.
Now, it is looking increasingly likely that you might only have one European candidate if Lynn Boylan makes it across the line in Dublin. Would you agree with that assessment?
No. Kathleen Funchen has a very strong chance of being elected in Ireland South, as does Lynn Boylan. And we are battling for the last seat in Midland and North West, as we read it, with Ciarán Mullooly of Independent Ireland. And then in terms of the local elections, we're going to have, we think, about 103, 104 seats. So that's an increase of 25%. So disappointing, no doubt about it. We set high targets for ourselves. But it's, you would think from some of the commentary from Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, that support for Sinn Féin had collapsed around the country. And Donegal, with the joint largest party, places like Monaghan, Waterford, Offaly, the likes of the down in Kerry, around the country, you're looking at gains of two or three. So listen, disappointing overall in terms of the high targets we set ourselves.
Listen, I have Dr. Aidan Regan here, Pádraig. If you don't mind, I'll bring him in here, particularly on the Ireland South question, because I know you were looking at Ireland South in particular and saying that that's the one that's really difficult to call. And you hear Pádraig there saying that Kathleen Funchen is still in the hunt. Do you agree?
Oh, she's still in the hunt, absolutely. I think it's a dogfight for that last seat, absolutely.
Because she's at 50,580 at the moment. The quota is 114,000. Now, you might need to reach the quota to be elected, but it is still possible.
It is still possible, absolutely. There's more transfers there. There's another Sinn Féin candidate. There's lots of... It's really hard to predict how that final seat is going to go. I mean, but I do think Sinn Féin absolutely are in a running for it. I don't think they're in a running for a seat in North West, but I do think they're still in a running for a seat in South, yes.
Mm-hmm. Can we talk more about Midlands North West, Pádraig? Because Michelle Gildernew, well known, of course, in northern political circles, but her profile here is certainly not... as high. She's outpolling her running mate, who was in situ as an MEP. Candidate selection, is that a big issue when you look now at that constituency in the cold light of the count?
Oh, there's no doubt it's very tough. I mean, we had Maria Walsh, who was a big personality, elected the last time for Fine Gael, and that got them two seats. This time, Nina Carberry, another big household name, celebrity. You have Ciarán Mullooly, a big, big name, you know, obviously of your own parish, for a long time, very well known, particularly in the Midlands. And then, of course, Luke McFlanagan, you know, probably the biggest personality and somebody who would compete with us in a similar political space. So, yeah, it's been a tough challenge for us in Midlands Northwest. And, you know, we're still there fighting for the last seat. And obviously, we'll have to reflect on all of that afterwards. Mm-hmm.
Gary Murphy was here yesterday from DCU, and he said it would be calamitous if you lost that seat in Midlands Northwest.
Oh, there's no doubt. But, you know, we are all disappointed in Sinn Féin, but at a point you have to get over yourself, because the people who are out there, you know, struggling to pay the rent, to afford to put a roof over their head, struggling to pay the bills every week, we owe it to them now to focus on the general election. I don't believe, and I find the language of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil leaders in recent days really, really arrogant. They had come into this election, you know, with 280 council seats, 255 council seats, you know, a huge foothold of people who have been there for years on the ground, who are actually popular in their communities, those Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael councillors. It's a very different thing in a general election, very different thing. So they'd be wise not to be too arrogant. I think they're enraging people out there. And if they want to have a general election this year, that is going to be very interesting how the public react to that.
Niall Collins?
Well, I would reject outright Padraig McLaughlin's assertion there that anybody in Fianna Fáil has been arrogant, anything but the truth. Padraig should be reminded that 10 years ago, Padraig's party had 160 local authority seats across councils in Ireland, and today that they're returning with about 103, I think, is what he said. So that doesn't sound like progress. There's nobody being arrogant, Padraig. We're just doing our jobs. We're rooted in communities right across Ireland, and communities are recognising the work that the Fianna Fáil public representatives and that the Fianna Fáil membership do for their communities, and they've recognised that in the ballot box. They're also recognising the work that government is doing despite the challenges that we have out there. We're going about our job. And yes, there will be a general election. A general election is coming, whether it happens before Christmas or whether it happens after Christmas. That's a decision which will be taken by the three party leaders in due course. And it's one certainty that
it's Simon Harris who will decide, right?
Well, officially Simon Harris will go to the Oras to seek the disillusionment of the Dáil, but I'm sure, as is the case in this government, the way it works constructively, the three party leaders will sit down and have a mature discussion around that. There's one certainty, Claire, in our working lives as public representatives, there is always an election coming. We hold ourselves to account, put ourselves before the people every number of years, and that is coming.
Yeah.
And we will set out our stall as a Fianna Fáil standalone party, and as our track record in government.
Okay.
And with our vision for the next 5 years, for the future of the country.
Pádraig, Sinn Féin has been calling for a general election since the last one, but you can't want one straight away now after the weekend that you've just had.
No, we're ready for a general election whenever it comes. But I would say, there's a lot of people across Ireland who voted for independence and indeed voted for local Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael councillors who were good workers in their community. But they're very angry the way the country's going. They're very angry with the health service, with the cost
seem to
of living,
be angry.
With the
housing. They seem to be angry with Sinn Féin, though, in a bizarre turn up for the books.
Oh, there's no doubt in this election that we didn't connect with people the way we want. Absolutely.
Why was that, do you think? Earlier,
well, you have to get over yourself and you have to focus on the next election. This is massive. Like, I don't believe the people of Ireland want Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael to run this country for another 5 years. I don't believe the people of Ireland have confidence that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and government can sort out the housing crisis, can sort out the health service crisis, you know, can make their lives affordable every week.
But does this election result tell you that they want Sinn Féin to do it? Surely not.
I think this local and European election reflects what was a terrible election for us in 2019. We lost a huge amount of ground, and it was always a struggle for us to catch up that ground. We've made some of the ground back. That's this local and European election over now. But the focus now is on who runs the country for the next 5 years. And I'm convinced that the people of Ireland don't want Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael to run this country for another 5 years.
What tells you that?
What tells me is the fact that the Green Party have lost half their seats, that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael have actually lost a lot of ground in this local election. And I'm convinced when it's a decision about who leads the next government, is it Fianna Fáil or Fine Gael or Sinn Féin leading the government for change? I believe that we can change the government.
All right, we'll leave it there. Thank you, Pádraig McLaughlin, and thank you as well to Niall Collins. Now, back to our panel. Claire Scott, on the issue of an election, we've had this conversation a lot since the vote on Friday. I mean, the party leaders have insisted it's not happening until next year. Will it happen in the autumn?
The thing is, it'll be hard for them to go back after being so forthright, the three of them, in terms of pushing out the election till kind of February, March. Micheál Martin in particular has been very, very clear on that. And so is Eamon Ryan. And I mean, the Greens would benefit from having it go the full way. But you have to wonder whether it's going to benefit them if they go that bit earlier. It's hard to see why they wouldn't when, Sinn Féin aren't doing as well as expected. But then again, when the dust settles on all of this, you have to wonder whether, a general election will actually work for them come the autumn, purely because, say, Fine Gael and the amount of the amount of TDs that they don't have in situ at the minute.
John, just give me 10 seconds on that.
There are there are pros and cons, but my favourite Dickens character is Wilkins Micawber. And I think waiting for something to turn up next spring is not a good strategy.
Thank you all for being here. Aidan and to John and to Claire, we'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.